And we're in our last week of our Atmosphere series. And during that, we took 2 weeks to pray and fast. And I had some great reports from different people about how God spoke to them or God did things in their life during that time. And I know that we don't like to do it, but sometimes you've got to do what you don't want to do. Someone once told me that. And doing these things is good for us, where we put aside habits, things that we usually do, to focus on God and see how He might speak to us. I said a few weeks back that I believe 2017 is going to be a growing and stretching year for us as a church. And to grow and stretch, we want to ask God to increase our capacity so that we have the ability to receive what it is that He wants to do in our lives. And praying and fasting and the anointing service at the end of today is a good way to set us up for a healthy 2017 and for God to do that in our lives. Atmospheres. We've been talking about atmospheres. Atmosphere is defined as a pervading or surrounding influence, a general mood or environment. And we've been talking about the atmospheres that we carry in our own lives. And what kind of atmosphere do you have in your household? What kind of atmosphere is in your workplace? What kind of atmosphere is in church? You feel it, yes? You feel it when you go into different places, the atmosphere. And that's what we've been talking about. Our key scripture verse has been 2 Corinthians 3:17. Great passage. It says this: "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. Wherever God is, there is hope. Wherever God is, there is freedom. And so in your life today, no matter where you are, where you've been, or where you're going, God has breakthrough for you. God has hope for you. God has freedom for your life. And I really, truly believe that. I'm not just saying that because that's the series we're talking on. That's what I believe for us, a hope for freedom. Who wants God's freedom around their life? Who wants to be free to let go of the past? Who wants to be free to walk in the Spirit's moving? Who wants to be free to see us be able to talk to people about the things we want to talk to them about, to be free in our lives? And week one, we looked at the atmosphere of agreement. Week two, we looked at the atmosphere of anticipation. And last week, I spoke about the atmosphere of awe. This morning, I want to speak about the atmosphere of abundance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that before we even thought of You, before we even were here, Your Holy Spirit was here. We thank You that where You are, there is freedom. So I pray in this place this morning that there will be people being set free, people coming into Your freedom this morning. I pray, God, that Lord, that we would not leave here the same, and not just say that, but we would leave differently as Your Holy Spirit comes upon us in this place. And we thank You for that. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Abundance. You know, abundance is a kingdom principle. And we hear about the word spoken a fair bit in life and in church circles. And it means this: having more than is required or needed, over and above, spilling over the top. An abundance. You know, when you have an abundance of something, it means there is a surplus. You have too much of it. Now, you can have an abundance of bad stuff. We're not talking about that today. We're talking about an abundance, and that can overflow into your life. It can overflow from that area into the rest of your life and affect the rest of your life. But today, we're speaking about an overfilling of God around us. A couple of scripture verses that I want to look at very quickly. Abundance, when we have it, it reproduces in our lives. Psalm 65, verse 11. "You crown the year with Your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow of abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy." Who would like to have some of that kind of abundance in their life? Not just physically or materially, spiritually as well. Overflowing in our lives. Ephesians 3, verse 20. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think." More than we ask or think. I can think about a lot of things, can you? I can probably ask for a lot of things. The Bible says He can do more abundantly according to the power at work within us. It's not our own power, it's the power that works within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. It wasn't just an outpouring of God's Spirit back at Pentecost. It was for all generations. It's there available for us this morning. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Who wants life this morning? Life that overflows, life that gives, that births within us, and it's God doing something in our lives as it overflows. Our God is a God of abundance. He is not a God of lack. He is not a God with limited resources. He is not a God with limited grace. He's not a God with limited miracles. Our God is a God of abundance. Hands up this morning if you already have enough. Now, what your enough is, I don't know. But do we already have enough? I would suggest that it would be some of us here that would want more. We believe that we can have more, that God could give us more, that there could be an overflowing in our lives. I want to speak today from Acts 2. It's going to be our main passage. You could perhaps turn there. We don't need the scriptures just yet. But before we do that, I want to give a little bit of background. In Acts 2, we see the Holy Spirit. We see the disciples and different men and women are praying in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit comes. And he comes in this just amazing way. And he rests on them. And they have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And what happens is that they're changed. They're changed. And they're meeting pretty similar to what we're doing today. So the Holy Spirit can come in this place. He can be in us. He can change us. And he fills the disciples. And Peter then goes and he preaches a 10-minute sermon. It's not. You can read it in the scripture. It'll take you probably 5 minutes to read it. He preaches this sermon. 3,000 men are saved. And additionally, women, they don't give the numbers for that. 3,000 people are saved. That's a pretty amazing altar call. That's a pretty great outcome. That's the Holy Spirit moving in the lives and the hearts of men and women. What a great way to start a church. What a great way to start a movement. A movement that continues to today. A movement that is alive and working in our lives. There are two things that we noticed that propelled this movement. They were, one, captured by the message of Jesus, the gospel. They were captured by the message and they yielded to the Spirit. They yielded their lives. So they were captured by the message and then they yielded their lives to what the Spirit was saying. I wonder, have we been captured by the message? Not do we give assent to it, not do we have knowledge of it, but have we been captured by the gospel message? Are we yielded to the Spirit? Do we even know what that means? Do we walk in our life in such a way that we say, Holy Spirit, today, have your way in my life? Are we asking him to come and direct us? Are we having fellowship with him? It's very simple. Just a quick prayer. Holy Spirit, be with me today. Holy Spirit, help me to hear your voice and understand it. In Christianity, it can just become a set of beliefs that we give consent to. Is that what our Christian life is? It's a set of beliefs that we consent to, that we acknowledge. Or is it something more than that? Is it an interaction with the Spirit of God? Has church become to us a religious habit? Something we do, oh, it's Sunday, I need to go to church. Or is it life-giving? Is it something that we look forward to, we anticipate, we expect that something is going to happen when we come to church? God is going to touch my life or someone's life. Someone is going to be healed. Someone is going to get an answer today. Is that what church is for us? A life-giving relationship with God and his people, our other fellow believers. One of my prayers and desires for you and for our church, for Elevation Church, Melbourne West, is that we would be God-led, Spirit-led men and women, led by God's Spirit, and that we would be a Spirit-filled church. Now, I want to rest assure some people. I'm not talking about us going and painting flames everywhere and putting dove stickers on the wall. Okay? I'm not talking about that, Spirit-led. I'm not talking about me insisting that you start calling me Bishop Blackmore. Bishop. You know, I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm not talking about us reintroducing, flag waving in the church or ribbon dancing out in front of the altar hall, out in front of the stage here. I'm not talking about those things where we try to manufacture a move of God's Spirit. No, I want us to be Spirit-led, Spirit-inspired, and Spirit-filled. Not wacky, weird, hallelujah, brother, Christians, nothing like that, but led by God's Spirit. A desire to not just see manifestations of God's power, but to also see the fruitfulness of God in our lives. Fruits being brought forth. What happens, so, when atmospheres of agreement, anticipation, and awe converge? The early church shows us in Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This morning, I want you to put aside your familiarity with that passage of Scripture. We all know it, but I want you to put aside, I've heard the Scripture verse so many times before, and think about it as this is a picture of what we could be like as a church. As what we could be like as a church. It all starts with the word devoted. Devoted. It means to give oneself to. To devote oneself. To give oneself to. And the early church, they gave themselves unselfishly to these things. Why? In response to the gospel message. In response to the truth, the revelation that they had of the gospel message. Jesus, what he'd done for them. A natural reaction to the gospel of Jesus. See, they were hungry for God. And we've got an example I just want to show you right now of hunger. If we can play that, thank you.
We can cut it there.
Man, look, see those two dogs? One dog was going for it. The other dog looks like, what's going on here? It's very messy. You know, the first dog was hungry for that spaghetti. He was hungry. And that's how we should be. You know, we should be hungry for the Spirit of God upon our lives. We should be seeking God to fill us every day. And this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of encouragement, to encourage us to get hungry for the Spirit of God, to be hungry for Him to fill us. We should be saving our appetite for God. Same appetite for God. You know, the second dog, to me, it looked like he wasn't actually that hungry. To me, it looked like perhaps he'd already eaten something. Has anyone ever done that? You're going out to this fancy restaurant at nighttime, but you're a guts and you eat heaps of food at dinner. And then you go to this restaurant and you're not really that hungry. All these amazing food. No one's done that. Come on. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's done that, okay? This is like getting a few people agreeing with that. And you know, we are the same spiritually. We're full. Full from spending all time all day, spending all day, you know, going through social media. We're full spending all of our time thinking about money. We're full spending all of our time watching those TV shows and those movies that we know are not doing anything in our lives. There's no appetite left in us for God because all these other things are filling and crowding our lives. But church, we are to be about the Father's business. Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. We are to be about doing the things that God wants us to do and being full of God. Three areas I believe God wants to pour out abundantly this year over our church and us, the church. And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about a meeting. I'm talking about us, people, individuals. We together make the church what it is. So three areas. The first area I believe is God wants to pour out abundant miracles. Acts 2:43, it said, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done. Awe came upon every soul. When we are fully captured by Jesus, Jesus can do amazing things in our life. May not be how we think he's going to do it, but he can do amazing things in our life. Everybody wants a miracle. We just don't want to be in the situation where we need one. Has anyone ever noticed that? Wish I wasn't in this situation, but I need to be in this situation if I believe God's going to do a miracle. Miracle and need go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And perhaps what we perceive as a problem in our life, where we need God to do a miracle, is not a problem. It's God setting up to do something amazing in our lives, to do something miraculous in our lives. It's an opportunity for God to intervene. And I believe that this year it's time for some of us to start believing God to do some mighty miracles in our lives, some mighty miracles in our relationships, our workplace, our health, some mighty miracles. God can do it, abundant miracles. The second thing, I believe, is this good this morning? Am I preaching anyone today? That's good. Two, I believe God wants to pour out abundant resources. Acts 2:44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all. No one went without. No one went without. There was this frenzy of generosity and giving and seeing someone has a need and meeting that need and being there for them, people selling properties and possessions. Verse 36 says these two words, glad and generous. Glad and generous. And I'm not talking about a manipulation. I'm not talking about us telling a story to stir an emotion. I'm talking about an encounter with God where it comes into your spirit to be generous and glad in what you do. How does this look today? How does this look today? Well, think about some of the things that we have. I know in our own life, in Gabby and my life, you know, there was a time, baby clothes and cots and change tables, those kind of things we didn't need anymore. So we gave them away. Maybe we should have kept them. But you know, what have you got around you? Maybe there's some toys that your kids used to play with, they don't play with anymore. Maybe there's a bike or there's a fridge or maybe there's a car or you have some money and you know that there's a fellow Christian or even an unchristian who needs a need met. Maybe you are that person to meet that need. To meet that need for that person. Could it be that the resources someone else needs, God has already provided and it will come via us? Our handyman skills, our cooking ability, our ability to babysit children, whatever it might be, us meeting the needs of people that we know. And God coming through with abundant resources. We need to be glad and generous people, seeking how can we help others. The third area, abundant grace. I believe God wants to pour out abundant grace. If I could have the band this morning, that would be great. Acts 4:33, and with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them. Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here's the climax of God-centered atmospheres. There is an abundance of God's grace. An abundance of God's grace. And it's an outpouring. An outpouring. You know, grace is God's undeserved favor in our lives. And there is an abundant outpouring of that upon us. It doesn't run out. doesn't run dry. It's available 24/7 for our lives. It's abundant. It's God's abundant grace poured out over my life, poured out over your life, your family, your city, your church, our church. And it's not just grace for the nice guy who doesn't know Jesus. It's abundant grace for everyone. It's abundant grace for the drug addict, the wife beater, the homosexual, the abuser. It's abundant grace for everyone. God's abundant grace pouring out. It's not just grace at the time of salvation. It happened there, that's it. No, it's God's grace every day. We fail, we fall, we lose sight. God's grace is abundant and available for us day by day. It's not just grace from God. It's abundant grace in our lives, overflowing and being shown by us to other people. Those people that have hurt us, disappointed us, let us down. Abundant grace flows over us and then outflows from our life onto them. An atmosphere of agreement, anticipation, awe. I want to ask you today, what atmosphere do you perhaps need God to help you in? Do you need to start agreeing with God, with what God says about you? Do you need to start to say to God and start anticipating Him to move in your life? God, I'm anticipating, expecting You to move in my life. Or do you need perhaps an atmosphere of awe to just stand there and say, God, You are majestic and mighty, and I praise You around your life. Agreement, anticipation, awe. You know, these are all atmospheres that we create ourselves as we reach out to God. These are atmospheres that we create ourselves, that we create around our lives. We decide to agree. We decide we're going to anticipate. We decide to stand in awe of God. It's up to us. I can't do it for you. Your mum and dad can't do it for you. The person sitting in the seat next to you can't do it for you. It's up to you. You have to decide. You make the choice. It's up to you. But the atmosphere of abundance, the atmosphere of abundance, it can't be manufactured. It can't be manipulated. It has absolutely nothing to do with us. Get a hold of this, church. The atmosphere of abundance has absolutely nothing to do with us because it is all God. It is all God. See, we can bring these other atmospheres around our life, but the atmosphere of abundance is when God shows up and He says, I'm going to do something in your life. I'm going to pour out miracles. I'm going to pour out resources over you. I'm going to pour out my grace abundantly in your life. And there's nothing that we can do to make it happen. It's God. It's Jesus. It's Him coming in power as He pours out His miracles, His resources and grace upon us. And this year, as a church, we need God's abundance poured out over us. We need God. I don't want to do church anymore in my own strength, trying to make things happen. God, I want You to move and abundantly come over our lives. This year, if we want to move to that church building, and I will bring some news about that in a couple of weeks, we need God to pour out abundantly. This year, if we want to reach out of these four walls, touch the community, we need God to pour out His abundance over our lives, to have a need and a hope for the lost. This year, if we want to increase our influence, we need God to do it. We can't manufacture it. We can't manipulate it. And this year, as we start, as I talked about at the end of last year, as we start to lay the foundations to be a sending church, we need God's Spirit to come upon us to bring that burden in our hearts to flow over and abundantly over us, so that we're not just happy for what we have here, but we want to send out what God has done amongst us out into the community, the nations of the world. And today I want to ask you to join with us in agreement, anticipation, and awe of God, to believe that God could come in His abundance on your lives and on our church in 2017. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the one and only God, the true God.